year on the road to the Holy Spirit in our continuing series to build up the church, to create understanding and also an awareness, and to bring help to the church at this hour that the Lord has announced righteousness. And following the conversation we had, it is becoming apparent to the church that only the person of the Holy Spirit, even as I said, is the one that is capable of helping the church to be able to score all the requirements that we discussed yesterday that are supposed to be taking place in the life of the church today. Now, today I want to look at the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. I will give summary and a brief, and this will be a continuing conversation. Number one, the Holy Spirit, He comes to the church as the biggest ever gift that was given to the church. There is no greater gift that was ever given to the church by the Godhead, by the Lord Yahweh, than the Holy Spirit that came to help the church. The greatest gift that was ever given to the church of Christ, is actually the Holy Spirit. So the first role of the Holy Spirit in the church is He brought us Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that brought us Christ Jesus the Messiah, that He may come and die for the sins of men. So you really see how center and central and how significant the Holy Spirit is in the life of the church. The Holy Spirit was there from the beginning of the inception of the church, because the Holy Spirit, He is the one that brought us Christ Jesus, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior. In the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35, He says, the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." So you see that the Holy Spirit is the one that brought us Christ the Messiah. The incarnation of Christ the Messiah was done by the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brought us the Savior. He brought us Christ Jesus the Savior. He's the one that brought God the Father changed into God the Son and come to us to deliver the nations, deliver humanity. And so after He brought us Christ Jesus, number two, the second role of the Holy Spirit in the church is that the Holy Spirit actually is the one that crucified Christ Jesus the Lord. He is the one that took Him to the cross and crucified Him that He may complete the mission of deliverance of mankind from sin. Number three, the Holy Spirit is the one that resurrected Christ Jesus the Lord. And there's so much scripture to read, we don't have much time to read it. From the book of Romans chapter 6, we begin with Romans 6. He says here, Romans 6 verse 4, he says, you can read the whole chapter though, but he says, from verse 4, King James, "Therefore we are buried with Him in baptism into death, like Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so even we also should walk in newness of life." I'm reading NIV here. He says, "We therefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." The book of Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it says the following. He says, "But God raised Him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. The Holy Spirit resurrected the Messiah. Romans 8, 11, he says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And many other scriptures. So you see very clearly that the third role of the Holy Spirit in the church is that the Holy Spirit resurrected Christ the Messiah and gave the church this wonderful hope of resurrection. And under that you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Now, in the church, the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, and that means he comes to counsel. He comes as a counselor. That means he's an advisor. He comes to advise the church. That is the fourth role of the Holy Spirit in the church. As a consultant, he comes to coach, as a coach, as an instructor to the believers, as a teacher, a trainer, a guide, a confidant, a mentor. He comes as a helper, as an aid. A-I-D-E. He comes as a teacher to teach the church, instructor, and coach. Now, I want to look at some very important roles of the Holy Spirit and even the genesis of the Holy Spirit in the church, how the Holy Spirit got involved with the church. Now, the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, we're going to read. But before we go there, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, then you see right from the beginning how the Holy Spirit began to engage with the church. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And he says here, if you start verse 6, yes, you can read if you have time. He says, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the earth. The other versions called it mist. Mist used to rise from the earth. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Verse 7 is our scripture. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. That is the first time now you see the church is getting involved with the Holy Spirit. When he breathed the breath of life into him, then he became a living being. That breath of life is the Holy Spirit of the Lord that entered the newly constructed man, newly created man, and life came to him. So the other role of the Holy Spirit, number 5, is to bring life to the church. He gave life to the church, and you see the breath. So the breath we have, the breath of life, is when God did blow into the nostrils, the nose, of mankind, and the Spirit of the Lord came to man. The breath of life, the breath gave him life. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, blessed people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45. I'll read it real quick. 15, 45. It says the following. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. It is very powerful that when the Lord came to us, Jesus came to us, he came as a life-giving spirit, the Spirit of the Lord giving life to man. And when you read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 6, it talks about the life-giving river that flows from the throne of God into the four ends of the earth, the life-giving Spirit of the Lord. Now, the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 4, also talks about the life-giving Spirit of the Lord, how he gave his breath unto mankind, and the Spirit of the Lord gave life to man. If 33, Job 33, and you go all the way to verse 4. Job 33, verse 4, beloved people, as we wind down on the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. I'm just connecting you to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Job 33, verse 4, it says, the Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. So it is the life-giving Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit comes to give life. And the book of Ezekiel 37 also says, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, brought the breath of life into mankind. Now, let us look at the engagement between the church and the Holy Spirit. Because Christ Jesus himself promised the church, he promised the church that he would send his Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, verses 38 to 39. Christ Jesus promises the church that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, beloved people, verses 38 to 39. And he says the following. The book of John chapter 7, verses 38 on. You can start at 7. And he says, again, John chapter 7, verse 38, this is what he says to the people. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And then verse 39 says, by this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to the time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified, and he had not yet left. So the Lord Jesus promised the church that he would give the church the Holy Spirit. He would send the Holy Spirit. And the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 4, he said he would not leave. He would not leave them as orphans. He would not leave them alone. He would not leave them alone, but he promised that they would have a comforter. And so, when he left, then the promise came. And he said it would be good for them that he leaves, because then the promise would come. So he told them they should never, ever leave Jerusalem until the gift comes to the church, comes to them, meaning the Holy Spirit was the one to come and empower the church. In fact, he told them not to do ministry, not to begin ministry, not to do church, until the Holy Spirit comes to them. And surely when it came to them, then they were empowered. And at that time on now, the church began. So the Holy Spirit runs the church. That's another role of the Holy Spirit. But if you read the book of John chapter 14, verse 18, real quick because of time. John 14, 18, it gives you another role of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse 18. This is what he says. He says, in fact, from 15 on is very important, but verse 18, he goes on to say, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And if you read from 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor. Now he calls him counselor. That's why I define the counselor. And I said, which means he comes to advise the church. He comes as one the church can consult with, a consultant. He comes as a guide to guide the church. He comes as the confidant of the church, someone you can confide in and ask him things, what to do. He comes as a mentor of the church, the aid, the helper, the trainer, the teacher, the tutor, the instructor of the church. And this is the promise he gave here. So the Holy Spirit is a counselor in the church. But when you read chapter 14, verse 27, he now comes through for peace. Verse 27, it says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So this counselor he was bringing, he said, would bring peace. So the Holy Spirit brings peace to the church also. No matter the turbulence, no matter the persecution, the Holy Spirit is the one that comforts the church. And then verse 26, he teaches the church. He reveals God to the church. Let's look at verse 26, book of John 14. And he says very clearly here, beloved people, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said unto you. So you see, the Holy Spirit comes to teach the church and essentially reveal God to the church. And in so doing, the Holy Spirit brings faith, belief first of all, and then faith. Now people begin to have faith. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then it brings obedience to the Lord, to the Word of God, and then instills holiness and righteousness. But there is a process. So if you look at John chapter 16, verse 8, that is the counselor. That is how he works through the person. Conviction of sin. He makes you convicted to your sin, then you feel a conviction that, no, I think this is wrong. And then he leads to repentance, and he makes the sinner aware of sin. And then Romans chapter 8, verse 26, he makes the believer sensitive to sin. Sensitive to sin, and now always repentant. He makes the believer repentant. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 16-23, the Holy Spirit also helps the church to bear fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. So how does all this work, beloved people? Let me summarize it for you again. We have seen how the Holy Spirit brings Christ the Messiah to the church. He brought us the Messiah. He brought us the Savior. And when the Holy Spirit brought the Savior, he also led him to the cross and empowered him through his ministry and led him to the cross to die for the sins of men, to fulfill the role and mission of the Savior, to bring the covenant of grace. And after the Holy Spirit brought the covenant of grace, now he also resurrected him at that death. So he resurrects the church. He brought resurrection to the church. He resurrected the Messiah, brought the Messiah, empowered the Messiah, took him to the cross and resurrected him. So the Holy Spirit is the most important gift, the single most important gift that the church ever received. The greatest gift in the church is called the Holy Spirit. And so, how does he work? He works in the hearts of men and women, and he restrains the dominion of darkness. We have seen how he has kept the Antichrist away for all this time and from being revealed, and that dominion of wickedness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Number 3, he convicts the world of righteousness. We don't have time. Because of time, I'm reading John chapter 16, verses 7 to 11. This is what he says here, John 16, 7 to 11. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So he brings conviction, beloved people. He convicts the world. I say he works in the hearts of men and women. He restrains the dominion of darkness. I'm looking at the role of the Holy Spirit in the church after bringing Christ. And then resurrecting him, empowering him and doing public ministries, strengthening him to resurrect people, strengthening him to do miracles, to move him until he resurrected him. And then in the church, he works in the hearts of mankind. He restrains dominion of darkness and wickedness, and the Holy Spirit convicts the world, he said, of sin and righteousness, of guilt and of judgment. The righteousness and judgment, and you see, in response to this, now look at the role of the Holy Spirit here. When the world now responds to this conviction, to sin, convict them of sin, of their wickedness and righteousness and judgment, when they now respond to that, that is when people live their lives to Jesus. That is when salvation is received. So you can see how powerful the Holy Spirit is. Then he brings salvation to the hearts of men. Once they are convicted, you give them the gospel, they tremble, they are like, oh, I think this way is not right. I need to receive the Lord. Yes, I'm tired of this. And then now salvation comes through that conviction. The Holy Spirit, after convicting the person and they receive Christ, then now the Holy Spirit now moves into their heart and takes home, takes residence in their heart, now starts to live in their heart. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 9, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, again, we are aware of the scripture on avoiding sexual sin, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, says, know ye not that you are not your own, you have been purchased. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So he moves in and he lives now in the hearts of the believers. Once the Holy Spirit has moved into the heart of the believer, the next thing he does is that now he helps them to seal them for eternity. Then you see, that is now the justification, sanctification and justification when they now become the children of God. So he seals them for eternal life. And then he comforts them now in the process, because now he's a counselor to them. And then he reveals the deeper truth to the church, to understand the word of God, to interpret the word of God. And then he brings gifts. He brings gifts to the church also. He brings gifts now. You see, brings prophecy. He that speaks with you is empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring prophecy. And he gives it the tongue, the genuine tongue, not the false tongue you see in the church today. So, beloved people, because of time, we will continue this conversation another time. But you can see really, really how central the Holy Spirit is in the church. Then the question becomes, are you in filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you in a place where you're sensitive to sin and you're convicted to sin, and that conviction leading to repentance? And you can see very clearly that he's so central, he even brought up Christ Jesus. He empowered him to do his public ministry, and he resurrected him, and he's the one that has given us the hope for resurrection. So the Holy Spirit is a centerpiece, is a central, is very central in Christian life, and that's why God the Father said, you cannot touch him, you cannot grieve him or blaspheme him, you'll never be forgiven. And Jesus also warned that you cannot touch him, cannot grieve him or blaspheme him. So may the Lord bless you, beloved people, and may you embrace the Holy Spirit in your Christian life. Thank you. Shalom. Well, we have been having a long conversation on the person of the Holy Spirit, the visitation of the Holy Spirit in the church, and I thought we could take this opportunity to advance our conversation regarding the Holy Spirit. Yesterday we had a serious talk at lunch hour regarding the role of the Holy Spirit, the many things he's doing in the church. And what came out yesterday was that the Holy Spirit is essentially, actually, the most important gift that the church received. Because we saw yesterday that the Holy Spirit is the one that fundamentally brought Christ Jesus and he incarnated him that he may come in bodily form. And after bringing Christ Jesus into this world, then it is he, the Holy Spirit still, that now got involved in empowering the ministry of the Messiah when he landed on him, descended on him, and that was at the Jordan River during baptism. actually identified and revealed. He revealed Christ the Messiah to the whole earth and to the heavens. He revealed him, said, "This is the chosen one of the Lord." And after bringing him, now at baptism, he reveals him to the universe, to the whole earth, and to the hosts of heaven, that this is the chosen one of the Lord. And then after that, we saw very clearly that the Holy Spirit then empowered him, Christ Jesus the Messiah, to do his public ministry here on the earth. And when he did his public ministry on the earth, the cripples walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard, the mute spoke, paralytics got up, leprosy was healed, the dead were resurrected. And then at the end of it, it's the Holy Spirit again in the Garden of Gethsemane that strengthened him, in fact, strengthened him right from the conversation that took place on the Mountain of Transfiguration when he was told by the two witnesses to go and finish the work. So now go and finish the work, that the way to eternity and his safety has been secured. And so when he went, again, to the Garden of Gethsemane, it is the same Holy Spirit that empowered him and enabled him to overcome, to travail and overcome. And the Holy Spirit took him to the cross and crucified him. Because you heard the Lord Jesus himself say that I myself surrendered, that he surrendered himself essentially to those who crucified him. That was the will of the Holy Spirit. And it is he, the same Holy Spirit that removed him from death, resurrected him. And I remember the time when God the Father took me and showed me the entire cascade, how Christ the Messiah was tortured, how he was abused and crucified on the cross. I saw everything. He showed me everything, how he was crucified and suffered a great deal, tortured. And then when he died and went down, so the Father took me down also, so I saw when Christ went down. And then I also saw the moment when the glory, the Holy Spirit came down and resurrected him. And the glory hit us, and he went up in victory. So it is the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit again, that resurrected the Messiah. And then the same Holy Spirit came in the cloud of God and raptured the Messiah into heaven. And now he has been sent to the church. He has been sent to the church. And so what came out essentially yesterday in that conversation and today now is that the Holy Spirit is the biggest gift that was ever given to the church. And now he's available in the church. And at the moment, the Holy Spirit is involved in preparing the church. Today I want to continue this conversation with looking at his role in the church, because he is the one preparing the glorious bride for the coming of the Messiah. And we see in the book of John, chapter 15, verse 26, that when the counselor, the Lord Jesus is speaking now, when the counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who comes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So this is the promise the Messiah was giving the church before his departure, that he will send the Spirit of truth. And this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, will come from the Father and bring the truth. And so you see, beloved people, that right there you see the mission and the role, the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the church and what he is doing in the church today. And this raises a lot of questions about the body of Christ that you see globally, because he says that when the counselor comes, whom I will send you from the Father, from my Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Meaning that the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which I'm looking at today, the work, the role of the Holy Spirit, is essentially to come and testify about Christ. In other words, to reveal Christ the Messiah more and more and more to the church. And one of the things that he does reveal about Christ the Messiah more and more and more to the church is the fact that Christ the Messiah is the Lord. That's number one. So that all people may now submit to the Lordship of Christ the Messiah. And then number two, he also reveals that Christ the Messiah is holy. And again, now you see, so number one, that he is Lord, submit to his Lordship. Number two, he is holy. So be holy if you are in Christ Jesus. And that's why I said it raises a lot of questions about the current body of Christ as to whether they have received the Holy Spirit. Because apart from revealing him as Lord and Savior, and that we should submit to the Lordship of Christ the Messiah, he also reveals him as holy, the Holy God of the Trinity. He is one of the members of triunity of the Godhead. And if he is holy, all those that worship him must be holy. And then, again, in the process then of revealing this, I'm reading on from the book of John 16, verse 13 now, and he says here, I begin from 12, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. So that is very powerful. He's saying that the Spirit of truth will come. So number three, as he reveals the holiness of the Messiah, he also comes to clean out the deception in the church. Because he brings the truth then, that the truth sets the church free from deception. So you can tell that he comes in John chapter 16, verse 13, to remove deception. The Lord knew that at this hour there would be a lot of deception in the church and globally. So that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to bring the truth and to slay deception. In other words, also to bring down the deceivers, the liars in the church and globally. It's a very powerful thing. And he's also saying here, very powerfully, that he will guide you. So he gives guidance. You see that now. And then he only speaks of what he hears. So he connects the church to heaven. What he hears in the kingdom, he translates, he brings to the church. And then, of course, he talks about the future also. He will tell you what is yet to come, meaning he will reveal to you the coming of the Messiah. He will reveal to you the things that are coming, beloved. So this is a powerful power in the church. He is the one that was sent to help the church. And if you look at the book of Galatians,